You're listening to an Amplify podcast.
Hi there, you're on Amplify on Sin. I'm Alexa. And today we have a really, really exciting show coming up. But I'm joined by my co-host Mia here today. And we actually have an interview. But before I get into the details of the interview, make sure to check out our Instagram at Amplify Sin, where you'll find all the tracks that we play on this show and across all of our shows, as well as some under 18 amazing content that you're totally missing out on if you're not following. But I'll introduce you to who we're interviewing today. This is Jack Ward from Ararat. Jack, do you want to say hi to the audience?
Hi everyone, it's great to be here.
So excited to have you here. And so Jack is a student journalist, a young journalist, 17 years old from Ararat in regional Victoria. And he's doing some really incredible work in the journalism sector at the moment and was named Student Journalist of the Year in 2020. So super exciting stuff. And we'll be talking to you really, really soon. But before that, let's get straight into our first track. And Mia, do you want to tell us what our first song is today?
Sure. Our first track of the day is called What They'll Say About Us. It is by the amazing artist Phineas. And Alexa and I are both in love with this next track. Let's give it a spin.
Welcome back to Amplify on Sin. You just heard What They'll Say About Us by Phineas. I'm Alexa and I'm joined by Mia. And today we're interviewing the amazing Jack Ward, as we said before. Jack, can we get you to just sort of introduce yourself for the listeners?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've already given me a great introduction. Thank you very much. No, it's great to be here. I'm a 17-year-old youth journalist here in Ararat in Victoria. So about 2.5 hours outside of Melbourne in Western Victoria. So I'm out bush and I've been doing journalism now for, I suppose, almost 4 years. And it all started back when I was in year eight and I founded my school's news station, AC News. And turned that into a major news source here locally. We started producing video content for our audience on Instagram, mainly school, maybe the school community, but then we wanted to branch into more local news, which we did. And we launched on Facebook and then a website at the start of last year, which was an exciting for us because we kind of built ourselves up over that 3 year period. We'd gotten $8,000 worth of equipment thanks to the support of our school. And we've gotten all this camera gear, teleprompters. And so to launch quite big again at the start of last year, was just a fantastic opportunity for us. And with the website as well, and it branched into something a little bit more because up until that point, we had been doing just video content, but now we were doing written content as well. So last year, it was a massive year for us. We covered so many local stories. One of the most major news sources here in our app. Producing content every week from a group of students. You know, we had our teachers supervising us, but it was really work done by students. And I loved it, running a team at AC News. And then at the end of last year, I stood down from my role at AC News. And at the start of this year, I founded my podcast, Ararat's Latest, which has been running ever since, bringing the community the latest in local news and stuff that really matters to our local community. But it's been a bit of a change here locally this year with coronavirus. I know a lot of communities have seen a similar change to what's happened here. But our local paper, the Ararat Advertiser, which is owned by Australian Community Media, it was suspended in the early days of this pandemic for an 8-week period. So for 2 weeks, it was just my podcast here locally, keeping Ararat informed, which was scary, but also exciting at the same time. And then there was a bit of a shift because we had that 2 week period where it was just my podcast. And then Craig Wilson, who publishes a local paper, not too far down the road from Ararat here, the Pyrenees Advocate, he sent me a message and shared his plan to start a new local paper here in Ararat. He offered me a job. So that was an exciting day for me to actually gain my first job in the journalism industry, and also exciting news for the Ararat community, because for that 2 week period, for many had no news source. You've got to think about our elderly population here in Ararat. We've all got our grandparents. How do they keep informed? The newspaper. And when they don't have that newspaper, they've got nothing. And you know, in a time of a global pandemic, when there's so much angst in the community, it was quite difficult for those people. So that's my year, and ever since I've been hosting the podcast and also writing for the local paper. And yes, as you say, a little earlier, I was named 2020 Student Journalist of the Year by Youth Journalism International, which was an amazing surprise. Did not expect that at all. It's a crazy honour, really. And it's been, I guess it's good recognition for the work I've done over the last 3 years, but that's not why I do it. It's the passion for journalism and broadcasting. That's why I do what I do. But there's a quick intro for you.
Whoa, that was amazing. And it's absolutely in awe of all the work you've done so far. That is totally mind-blowing, and especially because you're so young, like you're 17, and to have had your first job in journalism and experiencing that, as well as to have like made such a big change and impact in your local community, like I can only admire. That is mind-blowing. But tell us a little bit more about Ararat and really living in regional Victoria. Like, what's the community like? How is it sort of different from, I guess, Metro Victoria, where we are at the moment? And yeah, the importance of news there.
Yeah, so I've always lived in Ararat. I was born in Echuca, actually, but I only lived there till I was one. So other than that, I've lived here in Ararat. And the local community is really strong here. And I think throughout this whole pandemic that we've been experiencing as a nation or as a world, really, but here locally, there's been a really strong sense of community. And to be able to report on local events whilst that's happening has been really inspiring. There's been difficulties, no doubt, especially with our local businesses and the struggle that they've gone through during lockdown. But there's also been so many positives. And just to sit back and watch the kindness really filtering through our community. You know, just the other week, I did a story on a young boy who'd done up some hampers for essential workers. He's in grade one. And just those sorts of kind acts, it's amazing. And I think sometimes we overlook that. We do focus on the doom and gloom. And especially this year, there's been plenty of that. But the community in Ararat is so strong. And as a small community, like any small community in any part of the world, I suppose, but especially here in Victoria, we all know each other. It's tight-knit and we all care about each other. So it's been quite an interesting time this year to watch the community really come together and support each other. And even, you know, lots of local businesses are doing takeaway and people ordering takeaway and still supporting those local businesses. But for me, my responsibility as a journalist here locally is to share the local stories. And I think it's such a privilege to be able to share everyone's stories and keep people informed. I'm very lucky to have that role. And yeah, I suppose differently to Metropolitan at the moment, we're a bit freer, which is nicer. But it's been a difficult time for everyone. But from my position as a journalist, it's also been quite inspiring to watch the community come together.
That's so lovely and just inspiring to hear how passionate you are about reporting on your local community and giving back to, I guess, such a source of happiness and community in your life. I'd like to know a bit personally now how you manage journalism and reporting on your community with year 11 and being so young. I know you probably get reminded of that a lot, your age in such a, I guess, mature industry is probably something that, you know, you get reminded about a lot. But how are you going managing studies and your job, I guess, at the same time?
No, it's an interesting question, that one. And sometimes it's quite a struggle managing the job and also the podcast and school on top of that. It's been quite good being on remote learning though in term three, because it allows for a bit of flexibility. If I need to go out and cover a story during the day, I can, and then finish up school later on. But for me, it's trying to remain calm and trying to look after myself. I think mental health is so important, and especially this year. It is important to actually take some time out for myself. But with that busy schedule, I think it's really important for me to plan. And I do a lot of that. I've got a calendar and I slot it all into my calendar and make sure that I do still have time to watch some Netflix, listen to some podcasts and music. I'm a young person. I'm a teenager. I still do those normal things as well as doing work and school. But it is hard sometimes, and I'm lucky that I've got great family and great friends that allow me, when I do have the time, to let down my hair and have some fun as well.
Amazing. And yeah, definitely, like, I so relate with the whole like calendar and planning. Like, it is so important to keep on top of things during these couple of years, especially when you have so much going on. And yeah, you like just touched on your family and stuff. So if you could like tell us a little bit about what really sparked your interest in journalism, and where did that passion come from to start with?
Yeah, so for as long as I can remember, really, I've loved journalism and loved watching the news. You know, been watching Peter Hitchener at six and been watching and listening to radio, TV, reading newspapers. It's been a big part of my life. And probably since the initial point that I can remember is probably grade three. That's when things really started to kick off. And I used to set up a box in the lounge room and pretend I was presenting the news. I think Mum has some clips of me back when I was a youngster doing that. And she used to go in and show her work colleagues, and I'm sure they all had a laugh. But it did stem from there. And then throughout my primary school years, I've just watched really journalists sharing stories. And one really big event that sticks in my mind is the Link Cafe siege in Sydney. And I think that watching the journalists share such a big, tragic story was just really, it really struck a chord with me, and just the importance of that. So from really then on, I've wanted to pursue journalism, and I've known pretty clearly that that's what I want to move into once leaving school, or in my case, luckily, before I've left school. So it's been a thing that's been around in my life for a long time. And I think just watching people has really been what's inspired me, and just seeing what people do and the importance of that. And I mean, this year more than ever, watching the journalists keep us informed with what's going on, it's incredibly important. And to have that, be able to share and have that relationship with the talent as well, because I think it's so great just to listen and hear people's stories.
For sure, 100% agreed with everything you said there. And you know what, we were just talking about being young, and the next track that we have coming up, which we're going to move into now, is 12 Again by Aiden. You're here on Amplify On Sin. I'm Alexa, and I'm joined by Mia and Jack, who are interviewing, and we'll be back chatting to you right after this track.
That right there was 12 Again by Aiden. You were listening to Amplify On Sin. My name is Mia. I'm joined by Alexa today, and we are interviewing the lovely Jack Ward. So we're going to get right back into some deep, hard-hitting questions today. But we wanted to have a little bit more of a discussion with you about AC News, about ARAT's latest, and the ARAT Advocate, all of which projects you've worked on and initiated, I guess. How did each of these kind of come about, I guess?
Looking back at my first real, I guess, instigator and first experience in journalism was AC News back in when I was in year eight in 2017. And it started because in year seven, the year before, we actually did a bit of a journalism unit in our English class, and we did a mock fight, and we pretended there'd been a fight at school. And we had these two kids in my class pretend that they were fighting. We filmed the fight. And it looked really realistic. There could have been a bit of tension there before we did it, I think. And we got our principal on board, and he pretended that he was making a comment and a statement about this school fight. And we had a lot of students involved in that. It was our whole English class. It was compulsory, and we all really enjoyed it. And there were so many components of it. Of course, I love the broadcasting, presenting component, but then also behind the camera, the people filming it, editing, even makeup and sound and costumes. Everyone had a part to play. And that really, I saw the possibility of extending that. And that's how really AC News got started. Over that summer period between year seven and eight, I was emailing my English teacher. I don't think she had much of a break that summer period, actually. I was harassing her the whole time. You know, let's start up a new service at ARAT College. And I was, you know, she probably thought I was nuts to start with. And I was, really. But looking back on that, it was so important to get that instigated, because it led to so much. I mean, within our first 6 months, I'd interviewed the Premier. We covered lots of local stories regarding crime. We'd spoken to our local politician. And so it took off really quickly. And I think that's just because of our age. People were so inspired by the work we were doing, and we were so committed to it. So that's kind of how AC News got started. And then ARAT's latest got started because I reached the end of AC News. And it was three amazing years at ARAT College at the news station. But I was running a team, and I wanted to do something a little bit more relaxed, because running a team is a lot of work. And especially when my key focus was journalism and wanting to share those stories and not just manage a team. So I stopped AC News, and I sat down, and I wanted to start up something new. And I didn't know what format that was going to be. And at that time, I suppose 2019 was the year of the podcast, really. It really took off. And I thought, okay, everyone's talking about it. Every second person's got a podcast. What's stopping me from doing something like this? And so I approached a few people, started to put together a bit of a plan on what I wanted to do, contacted artists, trying to get some theme music, putting together logos, stuff like that. And then at the start of this year, I launched the podcast after a bit of an advertising campaign. I did do a bit of advertising and paid for a few Facebook ads and really pushed that out there. And the community support was really great. From the get-go, I think everyone was really keen to support this new way of receiving their news, especially when ARAT doesn't really have, there's no community radio. Our closest community radio stations are an hour away, so there's nothing that really focuses on our local area. So that's how that ARAT's latest got started, and it's been going great guns, really strong, and fortnightly at the moment, covering local news. And that links in well with the ARAT Advocate, because I can use the same stories that I produce for the paper as well. So I have written articles in the paper, but then I can use those interviews in the podcast. And I suppose in our last segment, I did speak a little bit about the ARAT Advocate. But yeah, one morning I got a text message from Craig Wilson, the publisher, and we had a bit of a meeting and just discussed what this new paper was going to look like, because it was the first that I'd heard of this new paper as well. And I suppose for me, I'd been covering local news unpaid for so long, but it was hard for me to comprehend at the age of 16 being offered a position at a local paper. I remember I got the text message and I ran, and I don't run very often, but I ran out to mum, and I was, you know, full of excitement, and she's like, what now, Jack, what's happened? And I shared the news, and just the excitement that and the possibility of what that could lead to later on as well, actually gaining some paid experience. I mean, that's huge in the industry like journalism. So yeah, that's how, I suppose, a little snapshot of how I started out in those three projects.
Amazing. And yeah, that sounds so intense, and it's really interesting how each of them kind of led to each other and followed on. And on kind of a more, I guess, personal note, not really, but how did you really develop the skills for each of these? Because I assume like when you really started off, it was something completely new, sort of to some extent, but like developing those skills and getting to the place you are now, because you're clearly absolutely amazingly talented at each of them.
No, thank you. No, I suppose for me, as we mentioned, it was just watching people and watching the news and really gaining kind of and practicing behind the box in the lounge room. Although they might seem like little childish things, I think it did actually contribute to the skills that I have now. And that period in AC News, I was, you know, I was learning all the time, watching YouTube, watching the news, honing my craft, I suppose you could say. I mean, I learned how to use editing programs. I'd never used Premiere Pro before, but during AC News, I learned how to do that, watched YouTube tutorials. And I guess my passion really pushed me forward in that and trying new things. And I think that's been really important in this whole journey. And I suppose throughout life, it's just a life lesson. Try things that are outside your comfort zone, because that's what really leads to something that's exciting, something new. And also listening. I think that's so important. And listening to people, not only those around me and my peers, because I learn a lot from my peers. When it came to editing, one of my friends, he was at, you know, he'd been editing gaming videos. He knew how to use Premiere Pro. Actually watching him and listening to him was really important. And listening to those within the industry. I've been really lucky, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, to have the experience within the industry and actually make contacts with people in the industry and gain that advice, because sometimes it's hard to take criticism. Sometimes I find it hard to take criticism, but that's how we learn. And that's how I've learned, watching people, listening to their advice.
Speaking of kind of personal development and gaining this kind of persona within journalism, do you have a reporter voice? Because I've always been curious about this, and especially like in the field of journalism, you know, you watch a news program or even the weather, there seems to be a different kind of voice and persona that goes with journalism. So I want to know about this and if it's a real thing.
It is. It is a real thing. I actually got a message from a voice coach a while back. This was about 3 months ago. And she complimented my news voice, and that's something I'd never thought about. But yeah, I suppose it is a real thing. It's, we all do it when we're presenting the news. It's clarity, making sure we use our diction, and just being really clear. And that's what it's all about, being the news voice. But yeah, I do have a news voice. And I think most journalists have a news voice. I think if you went and spoke to a journalist, you would be surprised how different they sound compared to what you hear on TV or radio.
Wow. I'm glad that we cleared that up, because I've always wondered that since I can't even remember when, but it's good to know.
Kind of going to ask me to use my news voice, but I don't have a script in front of me, otherwise I would.
That's so funny. I mean, your voice as it is seems super professional, so there is that. I think there, it definitely like develops both ways, if that makes sense. But talking about that, it's probably time for us to move into our next track, and this artist definitely has a beautiful voice. And the next track that we're playing here on Amplify on Sin is Show Me Love by Alicia Keys. I'm Alexa, I'm joined by Mia, and we're interviewing Jack Ward, and we'll be right back after this track.
That was Show Me Love by the wonderful Alicia Keys. My name is Mia. I'm joined today by Alexa and our wonderful guest, Jack Ward. And we're going to get straight back into this great interview. So I would love to know about some different, I guess, personal experiences that have come along with the job, such as interviewing the one and only Premier of Victoria currently, Mr. Daniel Andrews. What was that experience like?
Yeah, so that was, it was really soon after AC News launched that I got the opportunity to interview the Premier. And not as tense as it is now, obviously. It was quite a relaxed interview. He was coming to launch a wind farm here in Ararat. So one of many things in regional areas are wind farms. And yeah, it's created a lot of jobs, and it was being launched up in front of a wind farm. So we went up as a news team to interview Premier Daniel Andrews, and I spent many hours perfecting my questions. And I was told I had 3 minutes with the premiere. So I was, you know, picking out my favorite questions. And I went up there and, yeah, we did the interview about wind farms and renewable energy, which is a big part of Labor's policy when they headed into the last election. So it was quite easy to talk about. And I found it really exciting because I always kind of wanted to interview the Premier. I feel like any young journalist wants to interview a notable figure like the Premier. And I think it went for more than 3 minutes. And at some parts of the interview, I was more interested in the wind turbines than the Premier. When looking back at the footage, it was pretty funny. Some of my news team members took the mickey out of me for looking at the wind turbines whilst he was talking. But they're pretty big, pretty impressive as well. So it was, you know, wind turbines, Premier. But no, it was an exciting opportunity for me to really interview someone of such a high standard within our state.
I guess kind of leading into that as well, just surrounding a couple of tech specs in filming and I guess interviewing outside of a studio or a conventional location, what are some considerations that you need to kind of take in or put in place when doing an off location interview?
So I suppose for us, it's just making sure you don't forget the equipment. That's the number one rule, because we went to a number of interviews sometimes and we'd forget a microphone, we'd forget a tripod, and then you've got to make do with what you've got. But it is, when I interviewed the Premier, it was quite early on, as I said, in AC News. So we didn't have a lot of equipment then. So it was quite bare. But later on, and I covered one story that I covered quite extensively whilst at AC News, was one of our local primary schools burnt down. So that was quite a large story within such a small community. And it was my old primary school. So it pulled on some heartstrings whilst covering that. But we had all of the new equipment by that stage. And I interviewed James Molino, who you may know, he's the Deputy Premier. So next down from Daniel Andrews. And we went and he was announcing that they were going to rebuild the school. And he was announcing, I think it was $2 million maybe for the announcement of this school. And we got there and we recorded the press conference. Well, we thought we'd recorded the press conference, but we got to the end of it. He's just announced this $2 million for the school, and the cameraman goes to turn off the camera and stop recording. But actually she starts recording because she didn't start the recording at the start of the press conference. And look, those sort of things happen. You can't help it. So luckily James Molino was kind enough that we did a kind of an interview after the official announcement. But things like that do happen. So it is important, I think, just to stay on top of things. Make sure the red light comes on when you click the record button. And yeah, make sure you've got all your equipment when you're heading out to do an interview on site.
That is really interesting. And that must have been, yeah, it's such a little thing and stuff that happens all the time, but has such drastic consequences kind of in the long term it can, which is super scary as well in itself. On that, you've had the opportunity to interview like a couple of politicians like that, which is really cool stuff. Are you particularly interested in political journalism, or is that just something that's come about? Do you know what sort of journalism you're interested in for the future?
For me, general news is probably where I really enjoy being, and also breaking news stories. I love the adrenaline of a breaking news story. Politics is definitely an interest of mine. I'm not heavily invested. I don't sit up on a Sunday morning and watch Insiders or anything like that, but it is an interest of mine. Sometimes I feel like politics can be quite full on mentally, I think, and sometimes turn into a bit of a catfight rather than a discussion about politics, but that's just part of what politics is. So I don't think I'd ever want to move into something. Look, one day I might, but at the moment, thinking about what's going on in our political climate, moving into that full time, I think that could be quite exhausting actually. But yeah, general news is definitely what I enjoy doing. And throughout covering local news in our right, that's predominantly what I do, is cover general news, just general stories, some good, some bad. And I think that's definitely where my heart lies. But breaking news is, I just love it when you get a notification or you get a tip off that something's happening, to be the first to report that news, of course, and make sure the facts are right, because sometimes you can't rely on what you hear from someone on Facebook. You've actually got to clarify that yourself. And I think that the adrenaline of that really is, you can't compare it to anything else.
Definitely.
Well, you did touch on this a bit earlier, but what did, I guess, being awarded Student Journalist of the Year feel like for you?
Yeah, so it was quite different for me. And I suppose it to previous years, and I'm the first youth journalist to be announced by youth Journalism International in Australia. So it was quite different for them, because usually they're an American-based organisation, so they usually announce an American because that's where their core base of entries come from. So for me, I got a message one morning from their committee members, and they said, you know, we would like to have a Zoom call with you. And I've done a lot of work with Youth Journalism International before this award. I've written articles for them and been part of their organisation in a different capacity, I supposed. So I thought they were just wanting to talk about that. And they pretended, as they wanted to hear what coronavirus was like in Australia. That was their excuse for the Zoom call. So when I logged on, I wasn't expecting it. And it was a huge surprise when they showed me the trophy and brought it up in front of the camera. And I was really shocked. And it meant so much to me, because you don't do what you do to win awards. Not for me anyway. It's not on my radar at all. But to be recognised for the work that we did and I did with AC News, it was really incredible. And I think it was quite humbling too. It's you know, whenever you win an award, it's quite humbling, but it did mean a lot to me.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Definitely well deserving of the award as well, as you can tell. But what have you really been able to take from these experiences, and like have your prior experiences shaped what you're kind of doing now, like your skills or what you've learned from them, maybe from making mistakes as well?
Yeah, definitely. And we all make mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes, and it isn't just clicking the record button. Over the time, we've learned a lot as a news team in AC News, but also me individually. I think the way I cover news would be very different if I hadn't had the prior experiences I've had. You know, even just making mistakes, like mistaking someone's name and not spelling their name right, you know, things like that. Now I always ask, can you please spell your name out? Even if their name might be Tom, you know, you can spell Tom many ways. So I always want to make sure that I've got the correct spelling, just things like that. And I think it's sometimes you can overlook it, but you know, when you read your name in the newspaper, you like to have the spelling right. And I appreciate that. And they're the sorts of things, although they seem small, they do add up over time. And there's also been big ones. I mean, sometimes we published a story once that we probably shouldn't have published, and it was a mistake on my part. And I learned from that. And that's what we do in all parts of life, but especially in the journalism industry. Sometimes we make mistakes. We might get a fact wrong. But it's just important to take ownership of that and then learn from that, as you say, and go into the next scenario with a different focus and a different view on things.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's good to hear that. I guess you can reflect on previous experiences and past wrongs with such a mature, I guess, outlook, and really, I guess, take into account how that impacts your journalism going into the future. I'd be intrigued to know what, I guess, two parts really, what the strangest story you've ever covered is, and also the most heartwarming story you've ever covered.
Strangest, you know, in small communities like this, there's some strange stories. I've got one for you. It's just come to me. When we were the second year of AC News, I arrived at school on one morning. I couldn't tell you what day it was, but someone ran up to me and they said, "There's a sheep running around the school." And I said, "A sheep? What?" And so it took me a bit to process what was going on, because, I mean, we live in regional Victoria, but we're in a town. There's not sheep running around everywhere. It's not like that at all. And so I got to school and I, you know, chucked my bag in my locker and I'm talking to people and, "Oh yeah, the sheep, it just ran down the quad before and it ran down this hallway and between these buildings." I'm like, "No, it didn't. There's no sheep here. You're all pulling my leg." Anyway, so of course, being a journo myself, we ran and we got the camera and we're out looking for this sheep, and we found the sheep. It was a sheep. It had been caught by council out the back of our school. So we filmed them, you know, putting the sheep into their truck. So that was quite an interesting story, not something I expected when I rocked up to school that morning. And heartwarming, there's so many things that really tug at my heart, and probably leading back to Ararat West, one of the biggest stories I've covered, although it was devastating in the first instance. And a lot of our team members were from Ararat West Primary School, which was the school that burnt down. It was just so hard. That was where our memories were from primary school, and we were only in year 8. It had only been less than 2 years since we were in those buildings. But then on the other side of that, to watch the community come together, hold fundraisers, raise money for the school. We at Ararat College, where I go to school, all the students from the primary school actually come and did their education with us for a few weeks until they could get portables. Watching the community spirit, and it's like that with lots of stories. I mean, we're seeing, as I mentioned earlier, with the coronavirus, but seeing just the community come together and support each other, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah, it sounds so rewarding in itself as well. 100%. But let's move into our next track now. And this is Grace by Breathe. You're on Amplify on Sin. I'm Alexa and I'm joined by Mia. And we're discussing all things journalism with the incredible Jack Ward here. But we'll be back talking to Jack right after this song. Let's get right into it.
You're listening to Amplify on Sin. That right there was Grace by Breathe. And I am Mia. I'm joined with my wonderful co-host, Alexa. And today we are interviewing the lovely Jack Ward. Now, we want to get into a little bit of what your plans are for the future and all things to do with that. But before we do, we just would like to know how important you think it is for youth to be involved in journalism and invested in the media community, I guess.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I actually did a talk with friends of ABC in Ballarat recently, and a different demographic, quite an older demographic of grandparents and older people who listen to ABC. And they asked me the same question about the importance of young people not only being in the journalism industry, but also caring about what's going on and actually engaging with the news industry. And I think this year's been quite tiring, and the news is always so dull and so grim. And we're seeing those death tolls, the case numbers, we're locked up in our houses. So it's been quite difficult. But I think for me, as a young person in the journalism industry, it's so important for me. And there's so many people in it, and not just journalism, but also in media, like you guys here at Sin. It's a valuable experience, and it's across the board. You're not just learning how to broadcast or write. You're also learning those communication skills, responsibility, and just how to have those conversations with people, but also how to communicate in a way that is mature and respectful. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned during this whole journey, and as well as the journalism part, because, you know, that's so important to me. But watching my fellow members back in when I was doing AC News, not all of them wanted to head into journalism. That's definitely not all their career paths. You know, some of them might go into more media, more film. Others might do something different entirely. But I think it's been so eye-opening to watch people grow whilst being part of AC News. It was really incredible. And also kind of round them out as people, because they really grow it as a person, not just in a journalism sense. But I think it's so important. I think schools across the nation should be really incorporating something similar to this in their curriculum. Why don't we have, you know, some schools, I mean, most schools probably have a newsletter. Are your students at your school creating that newsletter? What a great idea. Get the students to collate those articles, write those articles and put it together themselves and have some sort of ownership over it. I think it's a great way for students to really evolve as people. And also, as I said, with young people being engaged with the media, I think young people are becoming more engaged with the media as it moves more digital and to the way we access news. Most of us access news on social media now. And, you know, with the climate change debate in particular, young people have been really invested in that. And I think that's because it impacts them and they can see the impact on them.
For sure. And yeah, you've touched on a lot of important notes, especially about curriculum and the fact that the curriculum has so much potential to involve journalism, media, and those aspects and industries that it kind of fails to do to some extent at the moment, for sure. But on that as well, whether you have any advice for young people under 18 who are keen to get into journalism or the media industry as a whole, and what would you tell them to kind of do or what to pursue at the moment while still being in school?
I just say go for it. I think sometimes as young people, we can be almost put in a box and be like, no, wait till school. Wait till you finish school. You can do that when you're an adult. Why wait? Why not do it now? You know, you might be in year 11 or 12, but you've still got time to follow your passions. I mean, sometimes it can be quite hectic, but I think you get a lot of fulfillment out of following your passion and doing something you love. And if it's something in the media, there's actually quite a lot of opportunities out there if you look. I mean, Sin is one, but also organizations that allow for young people to write for them. And even if you can't find something that suits you, start up your own. It's so easy now to have a podcast. I mean, you can do it for free, really, with your mobile phone if you really want to. Why don't you give it a go? Just grow your skills and follow your passions and see if it's something you want to do. And I think it's a great way to test the waters. And you don't necessarily have to be certain that you want to go into the media industry. Well, you can give it a go. Do a couple of episodes. If you don't love it, throw in the towel, but at least you're giving it a go and it might help you work out what you want to do after school as well.
Yeah, I guess speaking of school and kind of doing both of these really intense things at once. What are your plans for year 12 in terms of subjects maybe, and even beyond that, broader to, are you going straight into just doing straight journalism or, you know, focusing on maybe a uni course to do with it? I'd be intrigued to know what lies ahead in your personal, I guess, journey.
Scary thought, really. No, year 12, it's going to be big year next year, and I'm not sure if I'm ready for it. Hopefully things have kind of cleared out a little bit compared to this year, and I'm not going to be at home for half the year, because I think that's going to be extremely difficult. Shout out to all the year 12s this year. You're doing good. But subject wise, I'm doing, you're making me think now, English, legal studies, business management, and 20th century history. So they're my subjects for next year. And I've also got quite a lot of free periods as well, which has been fantastic. I did year 12 media this year just as well. So I've got my five subjects there, and that free time hopefully will allow me to continue with the paper next year as well. So I'll still have time to grow that, because I think sometimes there can be such an emphasis on an education. And I think an education is incredibly important, but sometimes that real life experience, as we've spoken about, can be just as important. And to be able to go to a news organization or a university, I'm not sure which one yet. I'm open to any pathway after school, a job in the industry, continuing my work in the industry, going to university if I think that's going to benefit me in some way and further me, which it probably will. That's something, yeah, I'm not quite 100% sure what's after school yet. But to be able to have that portfolio as well as that number at the end of year 12, that's really not that important in the big scheme of things. I think the portfolio in some ways could probably be more powerful.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah, and definitely, I think we focus so much on school and education in such a like limited capacity when there's so much more to learn in the real world. And it's really interesting that you touched on that as well, because education is not just what you do in the classroom. There's so much more to it. Yeah, and so on that as well, how do you really hope for the news outlets in Ararat to develop towards the future? And what do you kind of see for Ararat as a community coming up in media, I guess?
Yeah, so it's quite a vibrant landscape at the moment, because the Ararat Advertiser, which I mentioned earlier, which was the paper that suspended, and then the Ararat Advocate came in to fill the void and continue on, the Ararat Advertiser has actually returned. So now we have two local papers in Ararat. So I never thought we'd get to that point. I thought one was quite enough for our community, but two are seeming to be surviving quite well. I know we at the Advocate are doing really well. It is hard times for all businesses, and the Ararat Advocate's a business, but we're doing really well, and the community support has been really important, I think, to that success. So moving forward, I think it's just so important for news organisations to have the community at the heart of what they do. Some organisations, with Australian Community Media, for example, sometimes I think their newspapers, they're so connected that sometimes they forget that their local audience is why they're doing what they're doing. Sometimes they can be full of ads and the local stories don't really touch the heart of the community. And I think that's so important, because we want to read what's happening in our community. We don't want to read what's happening nationally, because we can go and read that somewhere else. We want to know what's happening in the border outlines of Ararat. And so I think that's going to be the future of news, and keeping that focus on the actual community and what's going on, because people, that's when people are really invested in the news, is when it impacts them. And when they pick up a local paper, they want to know what's happening in Ararat. Also, as I mentioned, like digital landscape and the new way of delivering news is quite scary in some ways. I think a lot of news organizations are still working out how to make money whilst bringing the news to people online. We've seen, you know, The Age, The Herald Sun, those sort of organizations put in paywalls on their articles. Some other, you can still get your news for free on other news websites. So it's quite a fine line, and it's going to be interesting to see how news organizations grapple with that. Although print is still important now, I don't know if it will be important in 10 years' time, because it will be all on our devices. And as the older generation kind of fade out, it's not a great thing to think about, but you know what I mean? And the younger generation are left. I mean, a lot of us don't buy newspapers. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shift in culture and the shift in way people access their news is actually going to affect the industry. Because at this point, with the amount of jobs that we've seen lost this year hasn't been incredibly positive. So hopefully things pick up and organizations can work out how to make a considerable profit online.
Yeah, I think it is definitely an uncertain yet exciting future that the journalism industry has ahead of it. But on that, you know, you've probably done a lot of interviews or will do a lot of interviews with some of your neighbours in the morning. And so we'll move into this track now, which is Neighbours in the Morning by Sam Lindley. You're here on Amplify on Sin. I'm Alexa, I'm joined by Mia, and we're interviewing the wonderful Jack Ward here.
That right there was Neighbours in the Morning by Sam Lindley. I believe that's how you pronounce it. You are listening to Amplify on Sin. My name is Mia. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Alexa, and we are interviewing Jack Ward today. But unfortunately, look, you've just caught the end of our interview. If you would like to catch up on this interview or any of our past shows for that matter, Alexa, where can they find it?
Yeah, head to our Instagram at Amplify Sin and you'll find all the links in our bio to our podcast, our Spotify, everything you could ever need and want. But again, like Mia said, we've been interviewing Jack Ward, and Jack is a 17-year-old student journalist from Ararat, Victoria. Jack, do you want to say any final words to the audience?
Look, I'd just like to say thank you. Thank you to you, Alexa and Mia, for having me on. It's been a great opportunity. Shout out to everyone in Melbourne. Stay strong, keep pushing through, and hopefully we'll come out the other side sooner rather than later. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And that's it from us today, but make sure to tune in to other shows we air on Thursdays from 5 till 6 p.m, Fridays from 5 till 6 p.m, 6 p.m, and Saturday from 3 till 4 p.m. You're here on Amplify on Sin. Bye-bye.